Everyone was such a blessing for my birthday. I appreciate that, and thank you for how you take care of Jamie and I. I won't tell you what my favorite gift is, because I don't want to make somebody mad, but I got a shirt that talked about duct tape, and and it wasn't anything Wolverine. Glory to King Jesus. Amen? All right, Brother Ray, ask a blessing, would you? Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's read in verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I will not have you ignorant. And thank God for that. He wants us to know. He wants us to understand. He wants us to realize. And this is something very important to understand. What is your place in the body of Christ? Not everybody can be a head. Not everybody can be an eyeball. Not everybody can be a finger. You know, we need some toes, and I don't know about you, but I'm finding out in life how important a left big toe is, how important a right big toe is. Now, there are some that would say, well, I just don't know. I don't want to be an elbow, or I don't want to be a left hand, or I don't want to be a left knee. Well, in the body of Christ, we're all placed in it in a specific place, and it's God doing it in order for you and I to work together, to see the body function right. To walk right, to talk right, to act right, to handle right. And you look at all the different illustrations in Scripture of things that the body does. Not to be leprous, where a finger could fall off at any moment, where a nose can fall off, or an ear can fall off, and where an eyeball cannot say to the left hand, you're worthless. We don't need a body like that. And that happens a lot of times in Christianity. We get into some places, I've been in some churches where because I'm a pastor of a small church, or because I'm in Lansing, or because at one time this was Walker Bible Church, there's a lot of men that have some real stupidity in them. And, I blow their mind. I was saved at Paris Bible Church, baptized at Paris Bible Church, and raised at Horace Baptist Church. What am I? And a lot of those jokers want to say, and it's utter stupidity. But a lot of those jokers want to say, well, you weren't saved in a Baptist church, therefore you're not saved. That's that Baptist bride position, that only the bride of Christ is a Baptist. Listen, the disciples didn't know that they believed in what we believe in today. They didn't call themselves a Baptist. They called themselves a Christian. And that's what Acts tells us. And in chapter 17, they were Christ-like. You know, if you wanted a terminology, now I think it's important to be a Baptist. I have no problem with that. Because of the distinctives, the belief system, the tenets of Baptist, of being a Baptist. For example, eternal security. We're the only ones that teach that once you're saved, you're saved. The rest of them teach, and I'm telling you, the rest of them teach that you can lose your salvation or you can fall from grace. And that is nowhere near what Paul was speaking about in Galatians chapter 4. There's a lot of garbage out there that would teach this and that. But even amongst the Baptists, and I believe, because the Bible was their final authority, the Anabaptists, the Waldensians, the Huguenots, going all the way back to Alexandria and even back to the disciples, they had no clue that they were supposed to be a Baptist. So my question is with some of the stupidity that's being taught, did Peter, James, and John have a true salvation? I mean, they weren't part of the First Jerusalem Baptist Church. That's utter stupidity, utter nonsense. But if you want to know who we are and people want to know who you are, I'm a Bible-believing, God-fearing, Christ-following, saved by Jesus Christ Baptist believer. That's who I am. I'm just a believer. If you wanted to boil it down and not have a whole bunch of labels and adjectives and all this business, I'm David Garver, saved by the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's good enough. Brother David Wood there in Pell City, Alabama, when they'd ask him what school he went to, he'd say, well, I graduated from such and such high school. And I thought that was hilarious. He says, really, in all reality, after high school, you can go to a college and get a diploma and all this and that. But it doesn't matter. What Bible are you carrying? What Bible are you studying? Who are you allowing to affect your belief system? And that's, Paul mentions that with these spiritual gifts because the body needs to act as one. Brother Ralph Coleman used to say that, and he still does to this day, but the gospel is so big it takes all of us to tell it. And that's the truth. Now, in verse 2, you know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Boy, if that's not true. He's speaking to the Corinthian church and what they followed at one time. Wherefore, I give to you, understand that no man speak by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed. Now, if an individual will want to say that the Lord Jesus Christ could have sinned, to me, I think it's this individual. This individual, and to say that he could have sinned, to me, is a slap in Jesus Christ's face. And I believe they're accursed. There's no way that you can study this Bible and ever find sin in God Almighty. Just absolutely no way. Verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts by the same Spirit. So the Holy Spirit of God gives the gift. Verse number 5, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Now the Lord Jesus Christ tells how those gifts are to be used. And then in verse number 6, and there are diversities of operations, but is the same God which worketh all in all. From that gift, now we have God Almighty, God the Father, giving us the strength and the power to do those gifts. Yes, God is a 3-in-1. You're a 3-in-1. Your body, soul, and spirit. He made us in His image. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He's not three-headed, but He's in three persons. And the physical manifestation of God is the Lord Jesus Christ who took on flesh and dwelt amongst us. That is basic Bible doctrine. Whoa. That's a silly thing. Stay. But that's basic Bible doctrine. Beloved, that's Baptist doctrine. That is God-fearing King James Bible doctrine. So we get into the gifts. Verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. It's all for the betterment of all of us together. Some that, verse number 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. By the way, this tongues idea, this is not an unknown language, and it is not gibberish. This is language, and we find that back in Acts chapter 2. So anywhere you see tongues, it is a known language. It is not the junk of the Pentecostal or charismatic church. It is not. And I've explained many times how they try to conjure it up, and that's what they're doing. Verse number 9, to another faith by the Spirit, verse 10, to another working of miracles, to another of prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another for interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. Now, today, I want to finish up verses 9 and try to get into verse number 10. But we saw the idea of faith. Faith. It's a gift. There are some that have more faith than others. And there's many times when my faith is failing and when my faith is this or that, God will bring somebody along and say, David, Lord Jesus is still on the throne. And I love that idea. He's still there. He's still working. When I don't see it happening, that just have faith that it is happening, that He is working, that things are coming along. I've heard some great things about faith. I remember hearing one preacher say that David, by faith, defeated Goliath, knowing that he'd be king one day. So he wasn't king yet. He hadn't seen that happen, but he knew in the future he would see it happen. Evidence of things not seen. One dear sister wrote in her book, and it just blessed my heart, and I got to read it to you. But and I took a picture of it. Because where'd you do with it? Where are you at? There you are. But with faith, you don't have to see what's on the other side because you are trusting in God. You have faith without sight. Even though you can't see the other side of it, God, you know what's going on. Help me. And really it is. Lord, help mine unbelief. Help me to trust you regardless of what's going on. But I want to get to the next one, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. There's a couple things here I want to bring out that the Bible teaches. First of all, in this gift of healings, we see in the Old Testament Elisha and Elijah bringing back from the dead. We see other miracles that happen. But one thing in common, Old Testament, New Testament, it has to be done by the power of God. It has to be God absolutely doing it. If it's not God doing it, then the flesh will take credit for it, and you become an arrogant Pharisee fool. God's doing it. That's why when God does something or does something through your hands, the best way to thank an individual is to say, "Praise the Lord. Amen. Glory to King Jesus." Amen. And that's when it becomes real. Now, when it's not real, you see a bunch of that. Even Pharaoh's nutcases. Pharaoh's philosophers, Pharaoh's witches and wizards, Pharaoh's godless idol worshiper and priests were able to throw down rods and it become snakes. But if you remember right, Aaron's swallowed the other ones up. And that's God showing history. The devil can do a lot of things. Now, he can't bring back from the dead. He can't. But I can tell you this, he'll mimic everything. Well, that's what the other versions are. By the way, Christian, you have a Bible in the King James. Everything else is a version. And it's man's mind, man's philosophy, man's way that has created that wording. And when man's in charge, he's now going to tell God what should be there rather than God saying, no, this is what should be there. And it is to change you, make you better, make you serve, make you glorify the Lord Jesus. It is not there for you to make the word of God or to make a God. These other versions create nothing but idol makers. Well, they don't like to hear that. And I've had many of them get in my face. Are you saying my Bible's no good? I'm telling you right now that the King James Bible is the only Bible. Well, then you're telling me my Bible's no good. Well, you can go with that philosophy if you want, or you can heed to the warning and get in a King James Bible. I don't know how many I've said, had them read it out loud, and they said, well, I can't believe the power in it. Mm-hmm. Yep. So when we get to the gifts of healing, there's a lot of junk being said about it. You know, we've had the Benny Hinns and the Kenneth and Gloria Copelands. I saw something the other day, and Kenneth Copeland just looks like a devil. Just as wicked as can be. By the way, church, I'm a little upset because y'all didn't buy me that jet airplane for $10 million. You know, it's like a dog running after the car. If the dog caught it, he wouldn't know what to do with it. Amen? Now, with that, we look at the gifts of healing. Number one, we understand the miracles by the Lord Jesus. That little girl, you remember? She was dead. And in Mark chapter 5, the family laughed at her, mocked him. He told everybody to get out, a couple of disciples and the mom and the dad. And he told that little girl to get up. And she did. Then he said, go get her some food. She's hungry. That's what my Lord can do. Hey, you want to know another miracle that changed your life? That miracle of him hanging on a cross dead because he gave up the ghost. Going to the sepulcher, going to the borrowed tomb, going to that tomb dead, graveyard dead, and in 3 days leaving it without them having to roll the stone away. That's the miracles that my Savior can do. I tell you a miracle my Savior can do. He can put it on men's hearts to get in a bus and go pick up bus kids. And then here's the miracle, to bring the gospel to my ear, to your ear, by those ones that got up early and prepared and prayed. Lord, may we see one saved in Children's Church. Lord, may we see one saved here. May we see one saved there. That's a miracle that even any human being would submit themselves kneeling down before God Almighty. That's a miracle. Because you and I are not, we're bent towards stupid. We'd rather our knees knock than get to our knees and get them to stop knocking by praying. That's who we are, beloved. So you have the miracles. So you see the gifts of healing in Scripture. You got the miracles of God. Then you have the miracles done by the disciples. Now understand that those miracles did not happen without the Lord Jesus doing it through them. Acts chapter 3, gold and silver have I none. And he told that cripple to get up and walk. By what? By the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. By faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, the Lord Jesus. But you say to me, and we've seen some healings in the 57 years of living. I've seen folks come back from amazing back problems or stomach problems or cancer or this or that. Praise the Lord. But that's, and I'll get to that in a minute. This thing that the disciples did was given to them. Why would that have happened? You have to understand that the Word of God was not complete yet. And because of that, the gospel was given by these men. And then how else would they have known this? Well, in Acts chapter 2, by the speaking in tongues, where they heard it in their language, number one. And then number two, Acts chapter 3, and Peter seeing this one raised up that was crippled. That we have to understand the Word of God's not complete yet. They don't have what we have. So what does God have to do? He has to reveal it to them. He has to show them that this is the true gospel. Believe on that very one that you hung. Yeah. Is the very one who hung, died, and arose again. And that's who you need to believe in. That's why you see the message of Acts 2. And you see the messages of Paul in the book of Acts and Peter in the book of Acts. And then you see it in their books and in their writings. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings. Because they knew it. They had seen it. Paul said that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that there's over 500 people watching him ascend. They didn't have the Bible completed yet. So through this, now we see these miracles going. So what is it today? Well, in James chapter 5, we see it in an anointing oil. Anoint them that are sick. You know, Pastor Charlie and I, we talked about this on a lot of occasions. David, just go put your hand on their head or hold their hand and ask God for a healing. I've been praying for Sister Karis. But there's a lot of times, Sister Karis, that we have our struggles to keep us in a spiritual maintenance. We're all susceptible to going back after the flesh, and our health slows us down. So we're in the Word more. We're praying more. The work that we're doing in the church body is then controlled by God. And He gets the glory. Y'all, there's no glory in sneezing and your entire nervous system goes nuts. But there is, so that I don't trust my flesh. I am the world's worst person on trusting flesh. Oh, fine, Lord, if you're not going to do it, I'll go figure it out. That's just, that's stupid. That's so foolish. I got biceps big enough. No, you don't. Oh, my back can handle it. No, it can't. Probably best example to understand that would be Jacob. When he wrestled with the Lord all that night, and he blessed him, called him Israel, but he touched the sinew of his hip. His hip joint's not out of place. Now he walks with a cane the rest of his life. Why? Jacob would see God. He would look at that. Well, wait a minute. Why didn't he heal him up from that? Why didn't he do like the lepers? God, why don't you take care of my back, Sister Karis? I say this a lot. God, why can't you take care? It's for the good of the gospel. It's for Jamie's good. It is for your family's good. I think probably the greatest win in any kind of health problem is when others see you trust in God rather than coming unglued. Does that make sense? Yeah. Sister Karis, a lot of times our backs are for our son's sake.
It's mainly my
sciatica. Yeah. What happens is we go through that for what? For others to see God. Now, that's the gift of healing. There are others that have been given this anointing. You look in John or James chapter 5. The Holy Spirit used these healings to prove the gospel. Even to this day. How do I know that? Dr. Locker, my dear friend, who's worked on my back. Dr. Wickelpleck that fixed my back. Godly man. Nicole, his main secretary. If you ask Nicole, she just does it all but the surgeries. godly woman going through her own health troubles. But thank God, she's a surgical scheduler. Dr. Roth, been given that gift. I've known Dr. Roth now for going on 18 years. What a blessing he's been to my heart. Godly man. David, let's do this. David, let's do that. And what I like the best is he doesn't follow this American standard of health care, American health standard of care. You know, that's what's so... So they have a set protocol that they go by. You realize that. 1 through 10. Well, this is this, this is it. This is how we're going to do this, how I'm going to do this. And let's always throw a drug addict at it. That's not Dr. Roth. There's been some others that have been given these things. Dr. Ted, who was an oncologist for many years at the cancer, a couple cancer institutes over in the Detroit area. Godly fella. God has given these men a gift. Dr. Navarro down in Ohio, Puerto Rican man, is in our association. Good man of God. One of the leading surgeons in his field. It's just amazing how God has done that for us. And then, of course, there's always those old remedies. Now, some of them I don't suggest, right? You know, a lot of our health troubles is just go take an hour nap. Yeah, but I won't sleep tonight. Oh, you'd be surprised. You start to pray and the Holy Spirit, the devil sure wants you to shut up and go to sleep. With that, that's those gifts of healing. The Holy Spirit used these healings to prove the gospel. I think that's something we ought to understand is all these gifts that are given to each individual and to the church, to the body of Christ, is to understand it's for the lost to see and hear that Jesus Christ saves. Anybody, short, tall, skinny, not skinny. You see how I did that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bless you. <laughs> Those
that are just absolutely extremely handsome. As to those who are not. And if you're not careful, you'll go, the bottom of that realm is a Wolverine fan. I'm just kidding. But he does. He does it for our betterment, for the gospel to be given. Hey, y'all, he does it so that we'll continue in that rest. Boy, if there's something you learn about any gift you've been given by God, it's there to help you rest and to help others rest. How many of us really rest like we should? I know if you're like me, though, I'll go lay down in bed for an hour just to kind of get everything to shut off, and then I'm feeling a little tired, a little weak. Oh, great, I get to go sit in my chair. Brother Ray says, well, why are you sitting in my chair? Pray for me. I live with Rachel. I'm just kidding. I have these boys God gave me. I have a headache. Brother Ray's been dealing with migraines all week. Now I know why I've been praying for him. I get to see Brother Jeff Coat tonight, and I ask him, why have I been praying so much for you? I get to see some preachers tomorrow and that I've been praying for. I get to hug Sister Brother Mike and Sister Terry. Boy, I sure love Mike and Terry. They've been such a help to us. Tonight I get to see Pastor Ross, Brother Doyle, and hug on them youngins and see all them grandbabies. See Sister Taylor for us to joke with Brother Ross about him not wanting to ask her out. I said, and this is truth. I told her one time, Jamie and I were there, and I said, you know, I wanted to ask you, Taylor, I was going to ask you out for Doyle's sake. Come on, Doyle. You know, you got to grab him by the hand. Well, five kids later, I think they like each other. Praise the Lord for it. Another gift, and I'll try to get through this, but he mentions another gift that's given in verse number 10. To another, the working of miracles. Beloved, you will never work a miracle without God doing it through you. When you look at the gift of the healings and the gift of miracles, that happened at a time when the Bible was not complete, but that happened at a time for everyone to see that Jesus is the Savior, and that happened at a time. Can God still do it? Oh, I know He can. Absolutely. But God's got to be the one that does it, and it's in His time, His way. And if He doesn't do it, praise Him anyway. In the good and the bad. But these working of miracles, it's not the Benny Hinn's and the Kenneth Copeland's, as I mentioned. It's not me taking my breath and Sister Karis's back and going, And Sister Karis, now she's starting to, she does cartwheels and she's running and doing backflips and doing front somersaults and jumping and touching the ceiling and whoopee! That does not happen, friend. Can God still do miracles? Absolutely. I believe it. I believe it. I know that God can. Brother Seitler preached so many years ago, God can. And God can, beloved. In these working of miracles, the Holy Spirit doing through the individual. It is never done of your power or your way. God will give you wisdom as you need it. For sure, we saw that gift of wisdom. Gives you the knowledge, and when you need it, it's there. If you get in the Word, you get wisdom. If you get in the Word of God, and you're praying about it, you get understanding. God will use that for you to help a brother or sister that's working. The working of miracles. The Holy Spirit has to do all of it. You can't do it. Ladies, let me tell you what. You can't cook an egg right without God doing it through you. Fellas, you're not going to be able to fetch water right without God doing it through you. I know I cannot love and take care of Jamie if I don't have God doing it through me. I tell you what the greatest miracle is, fellas. There's a girl that liked me. Now, I realize I come with, you know, this package is pretty premium. I mean, this is a name brand package right here. Y'all ain't buying that. Sister Margie's looking at me like, oh, great. You know, Sister Jamie's life's a whole lot better because she's got me in it. You know, in reality, it goes the other way, doesn't it? It goes the other way. That's a working of miracles. We were just talking 40 years ago. She sat beside me in my Dodge Aspen station wagon. She just wanted to hold my hand, but she didn't. Of course, we had a bunch of teenagers in the back and one of our good friends, John Russell, on the other end. But she did sit shoulder to shoulder, and I noticed her shoulder against my shoulder. I didn't say anything because I was still scared of her because she's older. She's a woman. I knew, you know, a couple of little girlfriends, but these girls, God brought me a woman. Hey, that's a miracle. You know what a miracle that God has done in your life? You look at the mom and dad that He's given you. Look at the friends that He's put with you. Look at the helpmeet that God's put with you. You know, one of the greatest miracles is in 2011, so we're talking 15 years ago, God brought this lady into this church. Saw all the shenanigans of godless people, but knew God wanted her here, and God had told her, that's your pastor. Y'all do realize that. 15 years ago, I believe it was either this month or next month, God brought Karis Ashton to the church. Mills, Ashtons, Martinez. And then God gifted me with a Catherine. You know, every church has got to have one. And a Mona. I've known Mona and Don for so many years, and God's blessed. That's a miracle. He'd bring Sister Margie. You see the miracles God's done? The story with Margie and Joe coming together, how God did that. Ray and Rachel, the story they'll tell you about their dating life and the different things, that's a miracle. And then God gave them four healthy sons. All right, three healthy sons and Caden. High five. Yeah, thanks, fellas. That's a miracle. That's a miracle. These working of miracles prove the gospel to the world. I have no doubt in my mind, both the good and the bad, God has purposely brought into my life, and that is a working of God's miracles. Now, these disciples were able to work those miracles, but they still called on God. Why? They didn't have the Bible, as I told you before. They had to prove that the gospel there. And how does God do that now? Well, there's still miracles that happen. Brother James Hires was telling me in the major fires of Central Florida back in the 90s, early 90s, he had none of his men died. They would be out there in their bulldozers and the fire around them, and they had to move this and move that to try to contain the fire line. And he said that one fella was in a bulldozer and it overtook him and flashed. So there's a flash fire that goes through there. And God protected that fella in that fire. And they were able to get to him. He had a few minor burns sitting in an oven, you know, that bulldozer. And God protected him through it. That's a miracle. We've seen miracles in our modern times with the airplane that landed in the Hudson River. We've seen miracles. It's a miracle that God brought about the United States of America in 1776. It's a miracle. Still the greatest nation that's ever been on the planet Earth. She's so sick today. Hey, but by the way, and I want to finish it up with this. So all of this is to show the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus to be real, to be salvation by faith, and to be needed by every individual. Amen. That's what these gifts and these things are for. It is not to gain money. It is not to do this or that. Now, I want to say one thing. In the state of Michigan, you need to be careful how you're going to vote. The Democrats are running a communist. It is not the system that we are now. But the biggest thing is they're running an individual that whose religion says kill the Jew, kill the American, and to kill the people of the cross. If you vote for that, You're wicked. You're sinning against God. And that's what's happening in our world. Is a lot of this is what we read is to glorify and proclaim Jesus Christ risen again. But what the world wants to do is they want to glorify anybody that's opposite of that. Beloved, are you listening? And I want you to know, in my 57 years, I've seen the politic. I remember the politic of the 70s, even to today. And beloved, there's always been a clear choice. Don't be fooled. Please don't let anybody tell you different. Because if they don't want the gospel proclaimed, then they're not definitely someone you want as a leader. Father, I love you and I thank you and I praise you. Please, Lord, help us to have the wisdom and knowledge that we need to have. Thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, amen.